You're listening to WBHM, and I'm Rachel Lindley. For the last several months, WBHM has joined AL.com and the Center for Investigative Reporting as part of the Alabama Media Group's Investigative Journalism Lab. Together, we're taking a look at Alabama's prison problems. Today, we're joined in the studio by State Senator Cam Ward of Alabaster. He's a longtime supporter of prison reform. He's also the chairman of the Alabama Legislature's Prison Oversight Committee. So, Senator Ward, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me today, Rachel.
So before we talk about what's going on in the Alabama prison system today, I want to hear a bit more about your work. Prisons, they aren't exactly a fun or popular cause for a person to take up in the legislature. So what first got you interested in prison reform?
Well, you make a good point. First of all, no one's ever run for election or re-election on the issue of I solve prisons. I can tell you it's not a big issue on the minds of voters, but it should be. When you look at the rising costs of prisons in Alabama, you look at the issue of overcrowding and how so much out of sync we are with the rest of the country, what it makes me realize is that if we don't do something about it soon, it's going to create a huge, huge problem for our budget in the future. You know, we love to proclaim ourselves to be a state that prides itself on the 10th Amendment, but we would really be disregarding that pride we have if we totally let the federal courts come in and take over our prison system. And I think that's what's on the verge of happening. So I think we have to step up and take some bold political choices, or else we're going to have a third or fourth of our general fund budget controlled by the federal government.
And how long have you been working on prison reform during your time in Alabama's legislature?
I started this probably about 5 years ago. I was in the House for 8 years, and this is I'm finishing my first term in the Senate, so probably about the end of my second term in the House.
What kind of political heat do politicians take when working on prison issues? Showing compassion to people in prison, and what kind of pressure does that put on you?
Well, it is a lot of pressure, but if you look at what other states have gone through, you look at Texas, Kentucky, you look at Georgia, those were states, what we call so-called red states, that tackled sentencing reform, and it worked out great in those states. They saved money. There's a lot of political pressure because there's a stigma there that you're soft on crime if you want to somehow resolve the prison problem. No one's being soft on crime. You're trying to be smart on crime. And the biggest issue I see is, regardless of whether it's whoever it is, if they're going to prison, there are still Eighth Amendment considerations. You know, as a state that loves to advocate for the Bill of Rights, we talk often about the First, Second, and Tenth Amendment, but there's still a Third through the Ninth Amendment that we have to advocate for. And the Eighth Amendment, it clearly lays out cruel and unusual punishment. And if we violate that, then the federal courts are going to take it over. People in general say, well, I don't care about that. You know, I don't want to talk about that. That's not something that's I care about. But it's still part of our legal system and part of the Bill of Rights. So we have to be careful to make sure we don't violate those individual rights. And I'm not advocating for a prisoner to have certain rights over someone who hasn't committed a crime. But if we don't maintain those basic rights, a federal court is going to do it for us. And that's what you have to be dangerous of. But it's not a politically popular position. But I think it's gaining traction with the awareness we're raising.
You're the chairman of the Alabama Legislature's Prison Oversight Committee. So what does the Oversight Committee do exactly?
We oversee the management of the correction system. We oversee the policies they generate. We don't actually manage the system, but we keep the commissioner and his staff, as well as employees, in check as with regard to when a problem arises. We're there to make sure there's legislation needs to be done, or to be an advocate for change in the system, that we're there for it.
And right now, the state prison system is under investigation. Do you feel like you or other members of the Alabama Legislature's Prison Oversight Committee are personally taking heat for this investigation by the Department of Justice?
Well, we're not personally taking heat, but we have responsibilities in my mind. I think we have a responsibility to respond and do what we can to correct the system. If there are violations taking place that violate someone's rights under the Eighth Amendment, then we need to step up. I personally, and although we're not taking personal heat, because I think the general public looks at it as, well, it's prisons, who cares? But in my personal mind is, you know what? I have an obligation as a policymaker to make sure we're enacting or engaging in policy matters that are in compliance with the Constitution and also good for the state, our state budget and our state system. So it's not we're not catching personal heat, but my opinion is we should be more concerned than we have been.
In January, the Department of Justice contacted Governor Robert Bentley about what they characterized as unconstitutional conditions at the Julia Tutwiler prison in Wetumpka. How did this change the tone of the legislative session for the Prison Oversight Committee?
Well, I think it's raising awareness level. Like I said, for years, really going all the way back to the early 90s, there was a perception that we had to be tough on crime, and forget everything else. And we should be tough on crime. There's no question about that. But we should also be smart on crime. I think what Tutwiler did was it raised an awareness that, hey, we may be looking into a deep black hole, that if we don't do something now, we're going to fall off the edge of the cliff. I think it raised an awareness level that some reforms are needed. And if we don't engage in those reforms, then we're going to pay a big financial price down the road for our state.
And during the 2014 legislative session, the Alabama legislature passed a resolution that is creating a task force, and that'll work with the Council of State Governments on prison problems. What exactly will that task force do?
Well, in the past, if you look at other states that have successfully navigated through the prison crisis they had, like, again, I mentioned the same states, Texas, Kentucky, Arkansas, Georgia, all very Republican states. What they did was they had a group, the Council of State Governments, which is a bipartisan group of policymakers from around the country. They had that group come in under their Justice Institute plan, and they would come in and study your correction system and make recommendations. It takes about an 8-month study. But they come in and recommend policy, they come in and recommend sentencing reform, they come in and recommend your facilities, everything from A to Z in your system, what you can do to fix it and make it better. But they require you to have a working group task force together of local officials and local stakeholders to work with them. So the task force we created was to set the stage for them to come in and work with us to make sure we had a group in place that's going to be very serious about, in 2015, coming up with some real solutions and real ideas. And I think 2015 is going to be the high water mark for sentencing reform in Alabama.
Sentencing reform is a big issue that you talk a lot about. What do you think that Alabama gets wrong with sentencing?
Well, there's a lot of disparities in the way we classify certain crimes. There's a disparity in how we classify crack cocaine as opposed to powder cocaine. They're both cocaine, yet we have different penalties for the two. We have this notion in our mind that somehow, some way, a nonviolent offender should get the same amount of time as a violent offender. There are ways you can address that. Someone who commits a crime should be punished. There's no question about it. I think it's the degree of punishment is what we're looking at. For example, it costs you $41 a day per inmate to put in a state prison. That's the lowest in the country. No one else is lower than that. However, I could put that same nonviolent offender into a community correction facility, and it costs you $11 a day. Why wouldn't you take a nonviolent offender, save $30 per day per inmate, put them in a community correction facility where they have to work and basically pay back their restitution, as opposed to putting them to a $41 a day lockup that quite honestly does nothing but creates a master's degree in criminals? I think we could do that, and that's the kind of reform I'm talking about. It saves money, but also reduces overcrowding.
On a related note to sentencing reform, the Obama administration is working to ease sentences for nonviolent drug offenders. Last week, the Justice Department issued new clemency criteria that significantly expanded the number of people that were eligible for clemency. Just interested in your thoughts and comments on that.
Well, here's the issue. I take a little bit of exception. They have taken a little more of a broad approach, too, with regard to clemency. What I think you need to look at is, instead of clemency, is alternative programs. Clemency by itself does nothing but just encourage someone who's perhaps been in violation. There's no rehabilitation. There's no effort to make sure they don't commit another crime. I think the alternative programs I discuss, whether it be drug courts, mental health courts, community corrections, those programs actually say, yes, you've committed a crime. There is a punishment in place for you. However, there's going to be an opportunity for you to rehabilitate yourself if you engage in the 4 or 5 steps that program's involved in. So I think, actually, our approach is better.
Another issue that you are very passionate about besides sentencing reform is community corrections. And what does community corrections mean? Describe what that would look like for Alabama.
Well, community corrections is different per county because every county has a different need. For example, a community corrections program, say in Bibb or Greene County, would be very different from a community corrections program in Shelby or Jefferson County. It depends on the needs of the community. In Shelby County, for example, we have a very large heroin problem. People who get caught with possession or use of heroin. So community corrections program there may look like a one where they work during the day and there's drug testing available for them where they get tested for drugs, making sure they're not using drugs, but also a real rehabilitation where they have to go through rehabilitation, drug counseling, and the like. But part of their work goes to help fund the facility they're staying at night. It's a minimum security facility, so the security enhancements, you don't have the same security enhancement costs that you have a maximum security facility.
Who does community corrections, right?
It differs. Arkansas just passed a bill that was pretty good. What they did was they actually gave an incentive for a judge to, if you met a certain category of offenses, whether it be a possession, some sort of nonviolent offense, they give you an incentive for the judge to use community corrections and say, hey, if you use this, part of the savings, as opposed to sending them to a maximum security facility, sending them to a community corrections, there's a savings there. Therefore, the judge gets to keep that and use to go back into the courtroom. That's Arkansas has a great new plan on it. Texas, however, is probably the ultimate in sentencing reform, in my opinion. You know, you had Governor Rick Perry, you had a supermajority Republican legislature that passed sweeping sentencing reform laws, and if you look at what they did, it reduced prison overcrowding, crime did not increase, but it saved the state of Texas a lot of money.
When did the prison issue start becoming a bigger problem for the state of Alabama?
Well, I think it probably started being a bigger problem at least 10 to 15 years ago as the population of inmates boomed. However, we first really started getting involved in it, the legislature, probably too late, but it was probably about 2 or 3 years ago. 2 years ago was when you started to see an uptick in the issues. The crowding issue has been growing for many years. We're at 192% capacity. However, I would say that where it really started to come to a head was the first time we had some abuse allegations in Tutwiler. This was pre-DOJ report. We had some abuse allegations there, but we also had some inmate-on-inmate violence in a couple other facilities, Donaldson as well as Elmore. So that's where it started about 2 years ago. We called a joint oversight committee meeting, met with the commissioner, met with various wardens, talked to them about the issue. They agreed there were some things that need to be addressed with the limited resources they have, security cameras, regard to training, just a host of issues. And then about a year ago, I would say, when the DOJ started their investigation, we started becoming more engaged as far as touring the individual facilities, looking at firsthand on the ground what's going on, what do we see, what needs to be addressed. And then finally, of course, you had the DOJ report here just recently, which said, hey, this is what we found when we were there a year ago. There is one important thing to remember, though. The DOJ report was based upon a tour they did roughly a little over a year ago. So although it's being reported on now, what their study was based upon was roughly about a year and a half ago. So there's been a lot of changes since their actual report took place, even though the report was released a whole lot later.
So then that takes us into the legislative session for this year, when the Alabama legislature passed a resolution creating a task force to address some of these issues. And then earlier this month, Governor Robert Bentley announced that the state would be hiring a consulting firm to work with the state on addressing problems at Julia Tutwiler Prison. And the state will also be working with the Council of State Governments Justice Center and a few other groups. What is the significance of the state doing this?
Well, first of all, the biggest significance, it's the first time in my 12-year career, that I've seen the state's actually taking it seriously. It shows that we recognize there's a problem, we're aware there's a problem, we've got to do something to fix it. So that's the first, and to be honest, I think 90% of the issue is awareness and recognizing you have a problem. Second, I think what it does is it's going to give us a blueprint to go forward. You know, what's the roadmap? We could throw a lot of bills against the wall to see if they stick. But at the end of the day, if you really want to fix it, you need to make sure you know, first, what statistics show. Two, what is a data-driven solution to the problem? Now, that's where we are now. I think the big challenge, however, will be in 2015. And by the way, I think the task force, the way we've laid out the appointment schedule, the people that are going to be on the task force are going to be a broad group of folks. They're going to be policymakers, lawmakers like myself. You're going to have folks from liberal groups, Southern Poverty Law Center, Appleseed, ACLU, and very conservative groups, Alabama Policy Institute, and other conservative organizations. So you're going to have all the way across the political spectrum. And I think you have to have that to have legitimacy for the task force work. But the real challenge will be once that group produces a report and the Council of State Governments finishes their report, Moody's, who's the governor's consultant on it, once we put it out there, that means next March when we go back into session in 2015, it's going to require some real courage on behalf of lawmakers to pass these reforms.
So you see a lot of activity, a lot of bills having to do with this in the next legislative session.
I do. I think if we don't do something big in 2015, then I think the court proceedings will move ahead and we'll end up having to, we'll be at the whim of the courts.
The Council of State Governments Justice Center, tell me more about that group.
It's very good. They have been the leading driver behind prison reform across the country. Like, they come in and they study the system kind of, I mean, they get down to the details of data, your inmate incarceration, how many are nonviolent, how many are violent, you know, what crimes they committed, how often you have people coming back into the system after they've been released. They look at that and say, here's a set of recommendations. And the states that have adopted their recommendations have done very good. I mean, they've reduced their population. Now, it won't happen overnight, but it happens over a little bit of time. But over time, they have adopted their recommendations, reduced the population, at the same time, save money, and no increase in crime. So that's what they do. They're kind of the nonpartisan. They don't care about Republicans or Democrats. They just look at the problem and then give you a set of solutions, and then it's up to the policymakers to enact them.
So a lot of this kicks off on May 5th when you'll first be meeting with the Council of State Governments.
What they do is they send their frontline folks in first, and they meet individually one-on-one with different stakeholders. I'll be meeting with them. They'll meet with folks from the Sentencing Commission. They're going to meet with folks from the administration. They'll meet with leaders in the legislature. They'll meet with folks in the judicial branch. And just as a frontline saying, hey, going forward, this is what we're going to do. We need your input. Just to kind of get a feel for who all are going to be involved as players in this process. Then in late May, we'll have a full task force meeting where they come in and make a presentation as to what their work's going to be. This is what they're going to expect from us. And then we'll all kind of have our individual assignments.
There's also recently been talk of a strike at the St. Clair Correctional Facility in Springville, and I know that you've had comments on that as well.
Yeah, you know, don't get me wrong. I am a huge advocate for reforming our prison system. 192% capacity is by far above and away what everyone else has in this country. So we're on the verge of having a system declared unconstitutional, which will cost the state of Alabama hundreds of millions of dollars. My problem with St. Clair, and I have toured St. Clair three or four times, is the inmate who described his conditions and what he was upset about. The comments he made were more politically driven as opposed to factual based. He talked about the only purpose, his quote was, the only purpose behind prisons are to have slave labor. Well, he's playing to a political crowd. And what he neglects to say is, he made those comments on contraband cell phones, which are illegal in prison. He could have easily given those statements through his attorney and passed them out. Instead, he had an illegal phone doing a video of himself talking about slave labor, which is, he's using inflammatory language as a means of politicizing him being a victim. He was a convicted murderer, and the appeals court upheld that murder conviction. And for him to say that he's upset about the wages he's not getting, or the fact that he's not making enough money for the work he does in the kitchen, even though he's a convicted murderer, for him to portray himself to be a victim, I think he does a lot of harm to what, and distracts what I see as a serious problem of corrections. He is not the poster child for what's wrong with corrections. Yeah, if you get down into the situation, what you notice is there's a breakout between older inmates and younger inmates. Some of the younger inmates have been involved in gang-related activity in the facility itself, and so they tend to want to incite and cause protests. Well, that's, St. Clair was also the scene of a protest back in the 90s where there was some severe violence and a takeover by certain members. Certain groups in the inmates actually took over the facility and caused violence. The older inmates, you talk to the older inmates in there, they're not as engaged in it.
So what do you think it'll take for us to move forward?
combination of political will to address sentencing reform, as well as the necessary budget process procedures that we're going to have to do to make sure that we have facilities as well as constitutional standards in place that protect the public, but also make sure that we're not in violation of the Eighth Amendment. I think one thing to keep in mind that's going to be very important, though, is solving the prison problem. It took us a long time to get into this problem. I mean, it took us years and years of neglect and kind of burying our heads in the sand to get here. It's going to take many, many, many years to get back out of it. I don't think it'll be one bill. I don't think there's going to be one budget proposal. I think you're looking at probably 12, 15 different proposals, which over time will help us get out of this problem we're in. No one wants to be soft on crime. No one's out there saying prisoners are more important than victims. However, there are certain Eighth Amendment challenges we have that we have to comply with. And if we don't do that, then the state of Alabama will suffer the financial consequences for generations to come. So hopefully some folks, we can all step up and be leaders and hopefully get something positive addressed on this.
We've been speaking with State Senator Cam Ward. Senator Ward, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Rachel.